Billy Hall on percussion.
Yeah, it was great.
What fun to play with such great people.
it was good stuff.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's just run into this Rod Stewart track. As we don't want to get too far behind. On Every Picture Tells a Story. You were on this album.
Yeah, that was the second album I did with Rod Stewart, in the early years of Rod Stewart. And that was probably my favorite album we did, Every Picture Tells a Story. I played mostly piano with him, although I played bass a little bit on the first album, Gasoline Alley. I played bass on Cut Across Shorty. But this, I think I mentioned that already, but Reason to Believe, I played piano and a bunch of... But I think the track... You know, maybe play Maggie May then, you know, because that... I played Celeste on that.
Okay. Yeah, so listen out to the Celeste.
Yeah, a little toy piano sound occasionally. That's me.
Is that it? That's not it, though. Yeah, it is.
Tell
classic Rod Stewart, Maggie May. And so you played the Celeste on this.
Yeah, that's why it was a hit record, because you get that little dring. Listen carefully. About three quarters of the way through, it comes in. And on the deck, and the Celeste, it's like a toy piano, really, but it's a, you know, medieval instrument.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful effect. It all worked.
I played piano on the rest of the album, Reason to Believe. Played piano on that, and that was the original A side, and then the Maggie May was the B side, and then in America, the DJ started playing Maggie May more than Reason to Believe, so that became the A side.
Yeah, hey, go with that. Wonderful. And well, let's go on to Papa John Creech. Let's just run on
right. That's like that was like a year earlier. When Joey Cummington took me down, I'd met him through John Cipollino when I was with Stoneground. I went over to John's house, and John, we later, you know, we talked about getting a band together, and that was ended up being Copperhead later on. Before I went back to England to play on this album, we just played. Joey Cummington took me down to play with on Papa John Creech's solo album in 1970, just called Papa John Creech, I think. But the track was Janitor Drives a Cadillac, and that was the first time I met Grace and Slick, who ended up, you know, playing with on her solo album Manhole, and then later, you know, in Jefferson Starship.
Starship, right.
But Papa John was in the early Jefferson Starship that I was in. He played violin on for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
you know, 74 to 76, something like that.
It's a great effect as well.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Janitor drives a Cadillac.
The janitor drives a Cadillac. He's big and brave. He just drives his big green car back and forth to work each day, cleaning sinks and scrubbing floors. He knows what it's all for. The people think he's a rich, yeah.
They just don't seem to understand it's a bitch, yeah.
Janitor's driving his Cadillac, shiny and new, back and forth to school each day, just knows what he's gotta do. That dude do no set of time for learning how to read or write. Tote that punch, flip that bit.
Well, he just got to make those car payments now.
John Creech. And what were you playing on that?
Bass, yeah. And he did a beautiful version on the album of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm.
Beautiful, emotional playing.
Mm.
Yeah.
we're going to quickly run through another Rod Stewart, because you have a good story about this.
There's you know, four albums I did with him, but I thought I chose this. This is the last thing I did with him back in 73. Came out in 74, I think, on the album Smiler. And it was kind of funny because my good friend Mickey Waller, who drank himself to death, but he's not with us anymore, unfortunately. Great guy, real character, great drummer. Played on those early Jeff Beck albums. So we were in the studio. Ron Wood was playing guitar, and we did these tracks. We did everything live in the studio in those days. And so Mickey on the drums, you know, Rod, and I was playing piano, acoustic piano. Ron Wood playing guitar, electric guitar, and on this track. And Mickey's dog used to sit by his drum kit, you know, every session. Almost always, he'd just sit there. It was a boxer dog, you know, called Zach. Right. And he'd just sit there, you know, for the whole session. No problem. And this one session, this one song, when Ron Wood launched into his Chuck Berry opening riff, Mickey's dog started barking. And it got back and forth with Ron's guitar playing back and forth. And you know, and we're all like trying to keep it together, right? Because we're laughing so hard. But we kept it together and we finished the track, and they ended up using that. So a lot of people think that dog was just sort of overdubbed or something, right?
Yeah.
No, it was bleeding into all the mics, and it stopped, and Zach stopped barking exactly on cue with the end of the introduction. And he just went back, shut his mouth, and just looked off into the distance again, you know. So it was an amazing moment. And, anyway, I think it's a real rocking track. Anyway, it's one of my favorite tracks I did with him.
Sort of like, you know, when the Buddy Holly and the Crickets, they had the cricket in the wall, didn't they?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Something similar.
Yeah.
Yes, sweet little rock and roller Rod Stewart. Wow. High energy, yeah. Fabulous.
Mickey's dog immortalized there.
Dog.
So then I, you know, went back to the States and joined up with Jefferson Starship, and then we ended up, you know, a couple of albums, so Dragonfly, and then we did Red Octopus, which one of Marty Balin's songs, Miracles. That was a lot of fun. I played bass and Fender Rhodes piano on that one, that track.
What year was this?
1975.
75, okay. Yeah.
So would I.
Stranger was a song that was on one of the early 80s albums. Johnny Barbada left the band in late 70s after a bad car accident. So then Grace left for an album and came back and everything. But I was writing with my longtime lyricist, writer Jeanette, my wife Jeanette, and she wrote the lyrics of Stranger and Winds of Change and a lot of the songs in the early 80s, very cool stuff, before things started getting commercial. And nothing wrong with commercial, but before they started trying to be commercial too much, which happened.
Over trying.
They were good songs, like Sarah and No Way Out and that stuff. But that was Peter, Peter Wolf and his wife wrote that one, Ina, wrote those songs. But the early 80s, Paul and Freiberg, David and Craig Chiquiso, and I'd write some stuff, and Grace, we'd all write songs for those albums. And one of the songs that Jeanette and I wrote was Stranger, so that's why that was up there. But
your own, you've also been activism, you've been working in yourself and done your own albums involved as well.
Right. When I left Starship, things were pretty strange. Jeanette and I had been heavily into Central American politics. We were involved with trying to help refugees from the wars, in El Salvador and Guatemala, the civil wars, which the Reagan administration were backing the right-wing dictatorships down there, who were basically declaring war on their own Mayan Indian civilian population. And it was a genocide going down, and we were trying to... And so they were fleeing to the Bay Area and other areas in America, fleeing from war that we had largely something to do with.
Yeah.
And so I was helping them. We did a radio drive to try to help raise food and clothing for those guys, and all the local rock stations played what I made a little recording and went on and did some interviews. And the response... to try to help the refugees who were in safe houses at the time, and we're trying to help them as a sanctuary, very early sanctuary situation in San Francisco. And the INS, wanted to send them back, but if they got sent back, they were murdered. And sorry, I don't know if it's a bit heavy for you.
No.
And so we were trying to help them, but the response from the Bay Area was overwhelming. The drop off points that I mentioned in the broadcast, they had so much stuff they couldn't open the doors.
Wow.
They were just crammed full of stuff. And when we gave all that clothing and food and toys and things and shoes and for the kids, and when we gave them to the people, it was quite an emotional, overwhelming thing. Anyway, we did this album.
Yeah,
it was very different from the 80s. Stuff that I was kind of rebelling against. And Jerry Garcia, he came down and played on it, Dave Grisman, a bunch of friends. And Jerry ended up putting this out on Grateful Dead Records. He helped sponsor a human rights music video called On Guatemala from this track that played on the several stations. And it was played on, I think, of much the Canadian television Much Music channel, which is like the MTV of Canada. And the MTV, the newsman there, almost played it. It was within within 3 hours of playing it, and he liked it. And he said, he came back to me and said, "No, I got the last minute. I have to pull the plug because the powers that be say it's too much of a bring down, and they're worried about their ratings because the song's about human rights." The real human rights abuses, because I'd been to Guatemala, and Jeanette and I had been down there, and Jeanette's mother personally witnessed a massacre there. And she came back on fire about the Reagan administration, which most people don't realize what really went on down there, the interfering in the going back to 1954 with the United Fruit Company and Arbenz and the CIA overthrowing democratically elected President Arbenz. It's heavy stuff. We've done some, it's a beautiful country. I love America, I do. And that's why I think we should just really keep an eye on what's going on,
Well, it's all coming back around again, isn't it? Yeah. That's the trouble. Ignore it at our own peril.
Bury our heads in the sand, I think there's constructive ways to fight it, hopefully.
Well, and especially now, there's a different paradigm as well, apart from, you know, gangs rather than war, maybe it's gangs, yeah. but also climate change, I'm hearing there, people are fleeing from because yes. of the drought. They can't yeah. grow their crops anymore down there.
That's right. That's right. There's many different reasons. And I won't get into it, but I'm a little suspicious of what's going on. You know, so many people are trying to cross yeah. the border now. I wondered where they're all coming from. It's almost like it's engineered to create a problem, you know.
Right, to make a problem where there wasn't
yeah,
one before.
Yeah, to magnify the yeah. problem.
It's been done before, let's put it that
way. Yes, yes.
Well, should we play your title track, Guatemala?
Right. Okay, sorry about the political rant.
No, we like that.
No, I'm not sorry.
Please don't be. We need it more.
Again, and the fire in the
years. And that's with Mimi Farina, Jerry Garcia, David Grisman, and Holly Near, one of our favourites here.
Yeah, she was on another track that Jerry was on. But for that one, Dave Grisman played the mandolin, and Kike Cruz played with Jackson Brown, played the Peruvian flute. That was fun. And Jeanette Sears wrote the lyrics for that. Most of the lyrics on that album. She just finished a book, actually, a really good novel called A Light Rain of Grace. Oh. And Grace wrote a nice piece for it, and Ben Fontoris. And she's a.
And you've been collaborating with her for quite a few decades.
Back to the 70s. And there's another album, The Long Haul, we did after this one. And I'd got lots of stuff. Hot Tuner, I could have played a couple of some of that stuff, you know, that we made some good albums in the 90s. That was a lot of fun. Played piano with those guys 10 years with Jack and Yorma. That was lots of fun. And I don't know, just muddling through it all somehow.
Of course. Yeah. Having fun.
But now I'm playing with Moon Alice and Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes, you know, in the Brotherhood. I did a tour with those guys recently with the Brotherhood on keys. That was fun. Hmm. And we have another band called the Greenleaf Rustlers with Barry Sless, John Molo, and Greg Lucano. And we have a lot, and Barry Sless on he plays pedal steel and guitar. Hmm. And Chris Robinson. And we have a lot of fun with that, playing all the old folk rock music, like Graham Parsons and, you know, New Riders and just all kinds of people. Yeah, that's what I'm doing mostly now. Bit with Harvey Mandel.
Oh, of course.
And he's fighting right now for health problems.
Yeah.
But he's an amazing guitar player.
It's beautiful to be able to hang with them, isn't it?
Yeah. Trying to make it all work.
Okay, well, let's do Kick It Open?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. That's a Moon Alice song. Yeah. It was T-Bone Burnett produced this one.
Okay. Well, evil lines up on one side. You can see it plain as day. When you go into a backslide, then the devil's on his way. Damage doers marching, barging, kick down the door. But the healer asks permission to start his mission, follow his vision, leave you wanting more. And I heard people chanting, someone else recanting. Damage done, as a word is spoken. It takes so long. Heal the broken if the door is locked. Kick it open. Well, don't you let him lure you to his mountaintop. When he says, come follow me, you know it's time to stop. Cause he's a breaker of hearts, smasher of bones. Gonna grind you up and eat you, spit you out alone. And I heard people chant, someone else recant. Damage done, as the word is spoken. And it takes so long to heal the broken if the door is locked.
There's a bit of Moon Alice before we go. I'm just going to trip to the David Nelson Band. Tell us about your involvement with them.
Oh, man. And I started playing with those guys a long time ago now. And Bill, my good friend Bill Lehman, the bass player, he got sick, really, really sick. And he's all right now. But so I just started playing bass and to help out. Anyway, I'm still playing with those guys. And we did I got this track here that David's a real deal. He's an amazing, as you know, from the New Riders of the Purple Sage. Oh, he was good friends with Jerry, and just really, you know, an amazing bluegrass player as well. And so this is This is a track we did a live track in, I think, around 2007 in Hawaii. We used to go to Hawaii every year and do these fantastic tours. And people would come over and hang out, and it was lots of fun. And so it's David Nelson, John Molo on drums, Barry Sless on guitar, Mookie Siegel on keys, and I'm playing bass.
Awesome band with Pete Sears, of course, and thank you so much, Pete, for coming in and treating us to just wonderful, great stories of your amazing career.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure, you know. I just thanks for listening, and we're all in it together. Just keep moving ahead and try to do the right thing if you can, you know.
Indeed. Have you got any gigs coming up very soon?
Yeah. I'm going to be playing with Zero next. Actually, Moon Alice on the weekend. Next weekend, I'm playing. Going to LA to do some gigs in San Diego and LA with Moon Alice, and then I fly straight from there to Oregon, and then I'm going to play the Applegate, and then I'm going to play the Oregon Country Fair with Zero, Steve Kimmel, and those guys.
Wow.
Yeah, I usually play keyboards with them, but playing bass on this one.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we got some gigs with more Moon Alice shows, and then Greenleaf Rustlers with Chris.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, keep it up. Don't ever retire. Just keep working, please, Pete.
I may be falling apart here pretty soon. I don't know how long I can keep going, but I'm not going to suddenly wake up and say, "Oh, okay, that's it. No more music."
Indeed. Keep that. Well, thank you so much.
Cheers, man. Thanks for listening.
Oh, my pleasure. My fault.
Thanks.